Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me as always, Corey Waldron in a full house today. Dennis Dow, Dom Rooney, and Evan Dial. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Not hanging in there, man. A little full, less action going on these past few weeks or days.
I like the full house. You know, we got a whole gang here. We can start a pickup game right now if you wanted to.
Yeah, we got a five-man team right now. But plenty of stuff to talk about. Even though the NBA is kind of slowed down, we're going to talk East teams on the rise, West teams on the rise. But before we get started, as always, just a quick shout-out. Check out the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Feel free to subscribe, retweet, share. Let us know what you think on Twitter at OTGBasketball. But currently on the OTG Basketball website, we're running a hot take marathon starting on August 1st. Every day, different hot take. So far, guys, what has been your favorite hot take in the marathon? I know there's only a couple out there so far, but what have you liked so far?
I'd say for me, probably Jack's piece about OKC being Golden State's biggest challenger. I think it's really easy, you know, and I'm not a Westbrook fan at all. So it's easy for me to dismiss OKC, but just some of the moves they've made, like some of the pieces they've added. I know the fit is a little strange, but you know, when you have just the depth that they seem to have now, I think they could definitely be a problem for OKC because I think they just defensively, I think they can match up well with Golden State. I think obviously the question is, can they score? And with the Rockets, in my opinion, taking a step back, I think that to me was my favorite hot take, OKC being their best challenger, if you will.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that a lot, and they'll definitely be a very versatile and just physical defensive team. I went with the New Orleans Pelicans making the conference finals hot take. I believe Jacob wrote it. I think the Pelicans are being a little bit slept on right now, and I think Anthony Davis is definitely an MVP candidate this year, and he may just win it. I think he's at the apex of his powers. We saw it in the playoffs last year, how he can just dominate on both ends of the court, and I think he'll be even better this year. Holiday, they finally got healthy. He's an all-NBA defender, really good. And then I love the additions. Julius Randle makes him one of the most versatile front courts in the league. I'm an Elfrid Payton fan. I think he could replace most of what Rondo did. They probably need one more wing, and I'm not saying I would definitely pick them to make the conference finals, but I don't think it's that shocking. They're going to be very, very good.
I really like the no playoffs for Portland or Minnesota piece that Alex wrote. I think I think the most interesting part is the fact that both of these teams were in the playoffs last season. And I mean, there's also these dynamics that both teams have. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard have been a very well put together machine for the backcourt for Portland. I think they've done really well. And just to see this take about how they might not do well enough to get them to the playoffs this season. And then just also all the chemistry issues and all the disappointment that comes with Andrew Wiggins and whatever's going on between Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler.
So I guess I'll just pick the one that we didn't talk about. we might as well just do it and, you know, give Dennis Dow some credit. Dennis Dow did one hot take on the Houston Rockets not making the conference finals. And it's pretty much spot on. I think, Dennis, you hit the nail on the head with this one. You know, they're losing Ariza. They're losing Abalamute. They won 65 games last year, a franchise record. So trying to, you know, duplicate that kind of season when you lose certain, you know, key players in the cog, and then you get guys like Carmelo who realistically should probably accept a smaller role, which you mentioned. You're going to be leaning on guys like Gerald Green to have a bigger role. You're going to have new guys like James Ennis, who isn't a fantastic scorer but can play some defense. They're probably, like you said, this is definitely a playoff team. They're probably still a home court team. But to expect them to be nearly as dominating as they were last year, I think, is a stretch. And I definitely think this is a team that's likely to take a slight step back.
Yeah, and honestly, all great hot takes and choices. Obviously, like Corey said, we picked them all. We're going to be dropping hot takes every day of the month, so be sure to check back. But more to a positive note, Which team in the East do you think will be on the rise this season, Dennis?
Just based on all the signings and things that have happened, it's hard to see it really changing too much. I think Indiana is probably the obvious choice just because they seem to be the only team that can really make that jump into the top four. I think Toronto, Boston, and Philly are kind of set. So I would say Indiana, I'm sorry, Corey, I beat you to it. But Indiana, I just think the moves they made, I think adding Tyreke Evans, another playmaker, whether you feel good about the McDermott signing or not, I think he does provide some more shooting. Kyle O'Quinn's a solid big man. So I just like what Indiana did. I think they have addressed some of the things that hurt them last year, where without Oladipo, the offense kind of, stagnated a little. So I think Indiana is a team that could easily jump into that four spot. Or, if one of the top three struggles out of the gate or struggles during the year, they could overtake them and get one of those top three spots.
Definitely agree about the Pacers. I mean, what they were the 5 seed last year, they should be, maybe just a jump to 4. I don't think they can match the top 3 teams in the East, but I think they'll definitely be better, and I think Oladipo has another gear in him, and especially if he improves his shooting a little bit, it's kind of watch out. And then for their addition, Tyreke gives him a lot to play more versatile lineups. He was excellent last year in Memphis. And then I think both their bigs are improving, Sabonis and Turner. Especially Turner, if he could finally put it all together more consistently, they have a chance to be a top 10 offense and defensive team, so they'll be very good.
Well, for the most part, I think that Indiana is, as Dennis said, an overwhelming consensus for like the picture-perfect team on the rise. I think it's hard to pick a team that's more like fitting of that description than Indiana is, and I think, you guys both kind of covered it pretty well. I definitely agree.
Corey, I know you're happy about this one.
I feel blessed. So the first move that Indiana made this offseason, signed Doug McDermott, was terrifying. I was with Nick actually when that signing came through near midnight on the first day of free agency, and I was just like, what the fuck are we doing? $7 million a year for Doug McDermott. And then they rallied right after that. I know they had talked with J.J. Redick. They're actually close to signing J.J. Redick. The Tyreke Evans signing, which you guys have mentioned, was huge. It was critical. Getting someone who can play make, getting someone who can take the ball out of Victor Oladipo's hands at time to give him a break. That first round series against the Cavaliers, we saw Victor Oladipo, once he had the big, I think, game one, game two and three, he struggled because the Cavaliers just took him out of the game. They double-teamed him a lot. He had to adjust. He's been working out like crazy. He's been getting compared to LeBron. They've been calling him a mini LeBron. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the like USA camp highlights. He's been scoring on like Paul George. He's been trying to defend Kevin Durant, which nobody can do. But he's actually been – the defense he played on Kevin Durant was really good for a guy with that much height advantage on him. Kyle O'Quinn, I think, is a fantastic signing for a third center. He can play make. He can do a little bit more than Al Jefferson ever could. And like you mentioned, Dom, this is a team. This team really does play team basketball. They just got done extending Nate McMillan, who I wasn't very high on his first year. But after having a team that actually played for him last year, this Pacers team is very solid. I don't know how far they go up in the standings. Like Evan mentioned, I think at best they're probably a 4 seed. They're going to be right in the middle of the East, and they're going to be like a nuisance. I don't think they're going to be better than the Celtics, Raptors, or Sixers. But this is going to be a team that's going to be a struggle to play against every night.
Yeah, definitely. I could definitely see the case for the Pacers. I think they're always a team that you have to beat, and I've said this to Corey before. Before we move on to Evan's team, what are the chances that the Pacers could end up in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think there's a good chance, just depending on how it shakes out. Given that's the thing with Kawhi going to the Raptors is, if everything holds out, it looks like I don't really see Philadelphia being the one seed. So my thinking would be Toronto or Boston. I just think Indiana matches up well with those teams, so anything could happen. But I think Boston would overwhelm them. So I think their best shot would be against Toronto, but I think it's unlikely that they get out of the second round.
Yeah, I think unlikely as well. I guess 25% because anything could happen, and of course injuries. But I don't think they could beat any three of those teams without home court advantage, which I don't think they would have in a playoff series. So I would say unlikely.
I will say this, however. I do think that Indiana versus Philly would be a really interesting series to watch. I think that as far as talent-wise, I think they're more or less equal. I mean, there's a discrepancy between Miles Turner and Joel Embiid. But other than that, I really think that they would kind of clash in a way that would be a little unpredictable, I guess. I don't think that they'll be able to handle Toronto or Boston, regardless of home court advantage, barring injury or anything like that, obviously. But I would be entertained or intrigued to watch them play against Philly. But I wouldn't give them much opportunity or chance this season to make it out of the East or even to the conference finals.
So I'll say this because I'm always the Pacers fan who I feel like is so down on my own team. I don't actually think they make it out of the first round this year, even still. I think the only way they have a deep playoff run is if Miles Turner takes a huge jump in his game. He's been often in foul trouble. He isn't a fantastic rebounder. So I think if Miles Turner was to somehow, you know, maybe he finishes top three in most improved voting. If his game takes a major leap and you add in a Victor Oladipo who improved and then a Tyreke Evans, and I think this team could be set for a big playoff run. But I think it all hinges on the fact that Miles Turner needs to become, you know, a top five or a top three center in the East. You know, he's got to be behind only the likes of Embiid and I don't even know who the other center would be. Horford. Yeah, probably Horford. He's got to be a top three center for this team.
Yeah, Drummond too.
Oh, and Drummond, well, yeah.
Don't forget about Dwight Howard. Come on, man.
Oh, big Dwight.
I said top five originally. So top five fits. But I think if they want to have a deep playoff run, he's got to be a top three center in the East.
Yeah, I think Turner's definitely a guy. And I think there's potential there for Turner too.
Well, he did bulk up.
It seems though that like they're better with Sabonis. Like I feel like Sabonis should be their guy instead of Turner, but I could see what you're saying where Turner I think has a higher ceiling. But right now, I mean, if it was up to me, if I could only take one of them, I would take Sabonis.
Dennis, I'm right there with you. I think I said this to Nick last year that because of how good Sabonis was last year and Miles Turner was going to have to get paid this year and Sabonis the year after, I said I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they started putting out feelers to see if they could get anything for Turner. The only issue with that is Turner is a way better defender and rim protector already than Sabonis. But Sabonis offensively is great in the pick and roll, great in the pick and pop. He does a lot of better things offensively. He's a better rebounder. But then you look at the defensive and the rim protection, and Miles Turner hasn't beat pretty significantly.
Yeah, the center position for the Pacers would be something to keep an eye on. Evan, what's a team in the East for you that's on the rise?
I'm going Toronto. I mean, they got Kawhi Leonard, and he's a superstar. And DeMar DeRozan, I think, was just a star. I think Kawhi is going to be motivated to play well because he wants to get a big contract next year. And to me, Danny Green is more than just a throw-in, a really versatile defender. Gives them a little more shooting, which was one of their weaknesses last year. And they're so deep. They're so versatile. Their young guys will be even better this year. Siakam, Anunoby, VanVleet, solid as a rock, right. They can unleash so many different lineups that defensively are honestly terrifying. Lowry will still be very solid. I mean, I think this team is loaded, and I think maybe a top three defense in the league. I mean, they were pretty close last year and may have some of the best personnel to deal with Golden State, honestly. I think they're going to be really good, and it's them and Boston as the top two. I think they passed Philly in the East.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that they will be better than Philly. Mm-hmm. I know originally – on the last pod I was on, I did say that I thought Philly could beat them, but after kind of sitting on it and understanding that Kawhi is who he is and we kind of forget how good he is, not having seen him play more than 9 games in the past year, I think people do tend to forget that. And after a little while, it's easy to realize that he can really escalate them to another level. And as you said, Danny Green is definitely not somebody, he's not just an extra piece in the trade. He's kind of an important part. They did lose Jakob Poeltl though. I do think that's something to keep an eye on. I don't think it's going to affect them like wildly, but I do think that not having that extra piece as far as centers go will kind of change the way they play slightly. But other than that, I definitely do agree with what you said.
Yeah, I definitely think the Raptors will get better overall, especially if Kawhi is healthy. I mean, if he can be the two-way, you know, top three, you know, player in this league that we saw him to be, then this Raptors team is going to be really scary, especially out east. I think a top three seed in the East is pretty much a lock, unless something dramatically happens, in which, you know, maybe somebody gets hurt, or maybe Kawhi comes back and he's just nowhere near the player that he once was, which I don't expect to be a thing. I think this is definitely a team that we're going to be looking at to be in pretty much a neck-to-neck race with the Celtics most of the year. So I think the Sixers are just a tad – they're just missing one piece, I think.
Yeah, I would say the case for me against the Raptors would be, you know, Lowry is such a wild card of a player in the sense that you never really know what you're going to get from him, and they just traded his best friend. And on top of that, they have a new head coach. And then when you throw in the whole Kawhi, you know, where it's not so much dealing with Kawhi, it's just dealing with his group, as Greg Popovich would say. So I think there are some, as Evan mentioned, I think the roster looks great. I think they have a chance to be really good, but I think there are some things that could easily derail them during the season. So, yeah.
Corey, actually, Dom, what about you? What team in the East is on the rise for you?
I had a hard time because I knew Corey was going to say Indiana, but he obviously didn't because Dennis beat him. But I ended up settling on Chicago.
Spoiler alert, I was never going to pick Indiana, but continue.
Fine, I read you wrong. But either way, I ended up settling on the Chicago Bulls. I think this might be a rebuild that worked out a little bit sooner, especially with LeBron going out west. I do think that they're going to be among that puddle of teams at the end that are going to be kind of fighting for that seventh and eighth seeds between like Detroit and Brooklyn and Charlotte and teams of that nature. I think the Chicago is going to be in that race. Granted, they did kind of miss Jimmy Butler's production last season, but Lauri Markkanen is a good glimmer of hope for their rebuilds. And I don't think that Wendell Carter Jr. is a player to kind of scoff at. I think he's going to be really good for them. I think there's a really, really good lineup that the Bulls can kind of bring out at any point, whether it's starting or closing. I think that if you move Lauri Markkanen up to the small forward position and then you can play Jabari Parker and Wendell Carter Jr., you're going to have a whole bunch of different things that you can do. And then you've already got Zach LaVine, who, I mean, I have my doubts, but I do think he's capable of producing when needed. And I think Chris Dunn is definitely an up-and-coming talent as well. Maybe not like a prospect like some of the other young players are in the league, but I do think that between those five, that's a lineup good enough for an eighth seed.
Should I go first? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dennis, go ahead. Yeah. I know Evan just wrote an article about this, so I'm definitely intrigued to hear his thoughts. Dennis, go ahead, though.
I don't think so at all. I think Chicago is going to be bad again. I think the lineup you mentioned, I think that, like, in looking at it, offensively, it's really good. But I think I listened to a good podcast with what's the Bulls writer's name? He was on Zach Lowe's podcast. That's it. And and that's something I thought of as well. But just defensively, I think that, you know, Jabari Parker and Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine have not really shown a great deal of ability on that end. Markkanen, I think, is more, he gives some effort, So that's a good sign. But I think with LaVine and Parker being the two guys that you've chosen to pay, I think it's going to be difficult for them to make the playoffs. Having said that, you know, it does seem like the Bulls are trying to win, which automatically, you know, gives them the edge on three or four teams in the East that are trying to lose. But I like the move though to go get Parker, just because, you know, who knows, you know, he could become something special for you. So I like the move in signing him, but I'm not sure if I could see the Bulls in the playoffs.
Wait, but who do you think would go in over him though? Or over them, I should say.
Well, I mean, if, even if you take the top eight from last season, I don't see any of them dropping out. I think Cleveland is the strongest candidate. But if Cleveland drops out, I think Detroit takes their spot. I think those teams are all better than Chicago, in my opinion, that is. I mean, just because I think with Cleveland, I think despite losing LeBron, I think when you factor in that they're in the East, I mean, is there any player on the Bulls who's better than Kevin Love? I mean, to me, I don't see that. Detroit, I think, could jump. I think Charlotte is going to be awful. I think the Knicks are not going to be good because of Porzingis being gone. I think Brooklyn's a team that could take a leap. So I see those teams over the Bulls.
I think the one thing people forget about Kevin Love, I did hear this. I can't remember. It was on some podcast I heard, or maybe it was one of ours. I don't know. But somebody had mentioned that people assume that now that LeBron's gone, Kevin Love is just going to gravitate back to his Minnesota Timberwolves days. And I just don't think that Kevin Love is that guy anymore. And on top of that, just Kevin Love was a better player than anybody on the Bulls when playing with LeBron. But I just don't think Kevin Love is capable of going back to being the first option on a team. And I think that the Bulls have a better opportunity to kind of capitalize on something like that, where Kevin Love might not be in the right mental state to do that.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I just wrote about the Bulls.
Great piece, by the way.
Thank you. Technically, I will say they're on the rise because they won 27 games last year, and I think they'll probably win 30 to 35 this year, so they will be better, but I don't think they're a playoff team. I think Detroit, Charlotte, Brooklyn are all better than them. I think this team will be very bad on defense. They were 28th last year, and I think they'll be around the same this year. They will no question be better on offense. I did like the Parker sign. It's short term. I think it's worth it for a talent play. Marketing will be improved. I like the Carter pick. But they just have so many one-way players, and it's going to be so hard for Hoiberg to create any lineups that can just tread water defensively with LaVine and Parker and Markkanen. It's going to be tough. And I don't think their offense is going to be good enough to make up for it. I think project them to be a league average offense, and that's being nice. They were 28th on offense too last year. So yes, they will be better, but I don't see them as a playoff team.
So I think this team is on the rise in terms of entertainment. I don't think they're on the rise in the standings. I mean, they're probably going to tread water. Their offense is going to be better, but if you think about it, this team really doesn't have three-point shooting still. It's a bunch of guys who attack the rim, and I mean, their best three-point shooter is probably, I mean, who, Markkanen? Markkanen? I'm so bad at European last name.
He's the fastest 7-footer to 100 three-pointers last season.
Right. I mean, I love him. I was a big fan of him coming out of college. He played at Arizona, I believe. But Chris Dunn, his shot obviously got better. I think the offense is going to be better. I think Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker can stay healthy, and they look just as athletic as we've seen them in the past, and this team will be entertaining. But I just find it hard to believe that this team is going to be making positive strides forward, because as you guys have all mentioned, defensively, this team is going to be really tough to watch at times. And then, I don't know, it's still like a weird bunch of players. Jabari Parker's going to have to play small forward probably. I don't know what that looks like. Or if he plays power forward, Markkanen may play the center position, and I don't know what that looks like. So there's just a lot of question marks. And I think if you're a Bulls fan, making the playoffs is the worst case scenario. You don't want this team to make the playoffs. You want this team to go backwards, not forward, or at least, you know, you don't stay where they are, get worse. You don't want this team to get much better and ruin draft picks or ruin the chance they have to get better through young players. I mean, that's the point of trading away Jimmy Butler, I believe. So I think this team probably stays the same. I think best case scenario, they win like 32 games. And still, I don't think that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, defense and spacing is going to be something to keep an eye on. But Corey, what about you? What team in the East is on the rise for you?
The Milwaukee Bucks. I love this offseason. Getting Coach Bud, getting the Spurs mind in that that in front of that team, Budenholzer, if you want his full name. You know, I think getting rid of Jason Kidd last year was huge. Having whoever Purenty, whatever the hell his name is, the interim head coach was whatever. This team lost Jabari Parker, the one defensive liability on the team. Getting Pat, I can't say his last name. Connaughton.
Yep.
Connaughton. I was close. More three-point shooting. Brooke Lopez, fantastic in the pick and roll. Can space the floor as well. They really addressed the issue of spacing they had last year. And then just think about a starting lineup of Eric Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Giannis, and then either Maker or Brooke Lopez at center. And that's a really good lineup. It gives you length and defensive ability, gives you some three-point shooting between two or three guys. I think the bench got slightly better. If Tony Snell can have a better year, he kind of had a down year last year. If Dellavedova can stay healthy, I think this team is going to be really tough. If they play Budenholzer's system, they're going to be moving the ball like crazy. They're going to be switching a lot. I think the Bucks could be a team that really sneaks up, and I don't want to give away too much because I'm actually writing an OTG Hot Take Marathon, but I think this team is set to have actually a really deep playoff run.
Yeah, I can see that feeling. For me, I am still a little concerned with some of the pieces on their roster. I think you're still relying a lot on – you know, I'm just not a huge fan of John Henson. I think Tony Snell is, I don't know. I mean, he's a solid guy, but, for me, I think, the problem with the Bucks is just, I think Eric Bledsoe doesn't really fit what they do or what they want to do. I'm not sure how he's going to mesh with Budenholzer. I do like that. Yeah. Like Corey said, I think losing Jabari Parker doesn't hurt them as much as people might think. I do worry, though, that I think it's really easy to think that Bud is going to elevate them to this huge level. But I'm just more anxious to see them than anything. I really don't have a good notion of whether this team can jump into the top four of the East, or if they'll be a team that kind of sticks to where they were last year in that 7 or 8 range. With Giannis, I think they will be better than they were under Kidd and Prunty. So I think that alone could be worth a top 5 seed for them. And, you know, with Giannis and Middleton, I think anything's possible once they get into a playoff series.
Yeah, I like this pick, Corey. I think the Bucks are going to be really good this year. Budenholzer is just so huge. They needed just stability, organization, and just a real coach in the worst way. And then I think Giannis still has another level to hit. I don't know if you've seen his workout videos, but that dude is diesel right now.
It
is terrifying. I'm a huge Chris Middleton fan. I think he's excellent. I love their offseason signings. Ilyasova will be solid for them. So will Lopez. Thon Maker, to me, is the intriguing player. If he can be playoff Thon Maker, then they really have something. But this is a really good team. I do agree the Bledsoe fit is not perfect, but right now, if I had to pick, I think they're better than Indiana just because Giannis. And I don't think you want to see them in the playoffs. Just ask Boston last year. They took them to 7. I thought Boston was way deeper and more organized, but Giannis and Middleton alone are just a lot to handle.
The only thing I just can't seem to understand about the Bucks is even last year, they had such – like the lineup you just mentioned, Corey, it's not too much different from what last year was. I mean, Jabari Parker is a little bit less of a system player for them than Brook Lopez will be. So they did gain that in that area. But the lineup they had last year was on paper a very, very good lineup, especially in the East. And it's just that's the kind of thing that in 2K, that's why you see in 2K, they're always playing the Warriors in the finals, because on paper the roster is so good. But for some reason, they just can't seem to bring it together. I just can't seem to believe that adding Brook Lopez or even Budenholzer is going to change that very much more than what there was last season. I do think that they're on the rise, because they're definitely not on the decline with a player like Giannis on their team. And Giannis, as Evan said, is definitely going to take another step. And Budenholzer is going to allow them to take another step. So I do think they're going to get a little better, but I don't see the progression, I guess, that you guys are vocalizing.
The one thing that they lacked last year is Brogdon only played in 48 games.
Oh, and, yes.
I think that was a huge person they missed. I mean, he had a good rookie campaign. I mean, he was rookie of the year, right? And that rather weak rookie class where Embiid probably, he was my pick to win in 35 games because he was so phenomenal. But I think getting Brogdon back and healthy, and if he elevates his game, I know there's the question mark with Bledsoe is surely the biggest one now. But I don't know. I just think they got a lot more versatile than they were last season, I believe, with just the Ilyasova, even though that put them, I believe, in bad cap situation going forward. I just think this team is set to really turn heads.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what Budenholzer is going to do with the team, kind of make it work in the system he implements. But any other teams in the East that you think will be on the rise before he moves to the West?
I do have one. I'm pretty sure it's going to more or less be the same reaction that my Chicago one was, but I do think that Washington is going to be a lot better this season, just for two reasons. One, just because they had such an underwhelming season with the injuries to John Wall and all the chemistry issues, but Wall should be healthy. Him and Beal are still a very, very good backcourt, regardless of their off-court issues. Gortat will not be there, so there shouldn't be that whole issue with the chemistry there. And I do also think that – I know someone's not going to like this, but I do think Dwight Howard is a bit better than Gortat. I think that he does everything Gortat does, just a bit better. And I think it's worth mentioning that he did choose to play for the Wizards over the Warriors – after John Wall reached out to him. So I do think that there is a possibility that Dwight may actually be looking forward to playing basketball, and he might maybe actually try a little bit. So I do think that this is a team that's going to get a little bit better, not to mention I think they got a lot deeper in the point guard area. Satoransky is going to be a little bit better. Austin Rivers will give them a little more depth, and I'm just still banking on some sort of progression from Wall and Beal. So I do think they're going to be a bit better.
I think the only thing I'd push back on is the Warriors didn't want Dwight Howard. I think he pushed that out there that he wanted to join them, but like they didn't want him. I think I agree with you in that, like, I'm not a big Dwight Howard fan, but I think he is better than Gortat in every way. The only thing I would say is just, is he willing to do what Gortat did? Because the problem with Howard has always been, like, he gets frustrated and he wants post-up touches, and he gets frustrated and he wants the ball. And it's like he doesn't take too kindly to too many trips up the court without being able to touch the ball. If you could put Clint Capella's mindset into Dwight Howard's body, like, he could be an all-NBA guy again. But I just don't see that happening. But I like the addition of Rivers, though. I like Austin Rivers. I think Otto Porter can continue to improve. And I think Oubre as well could be a big breakout guy for them. In addition, I think they still have Markieff Morris. I like Satoransky, but I couldn't figure out why Scotty Brooks would not play him in the playoffs last year, because I think Satoransky's a really good player.
Yeah, Dominic, I agree with you. This one, I like the Wizards a lot. And Dennis, that was all spot on. I like Satoransky a lot. and I don't like Scott Brooks that much. But, I think Oubre is going to have his best year. And I like the Austin Rivers pickup a lot. The Dwight Howard, yes, he's better than Gortat. And if he can stay happy, then they're going to be really good. And I think John Wall just being healthy. People, I think, forgot how good he is. You saw it have been in the playoffs against Toronto. I mean, he could be dominant and an absolute force. So I think the Wizards for sure are going to be better this year.
Which, a quick shout out, Ian just wrote an article about Kelly Oubre for the site, which I read earlier. It's pretty good. I'm a big fan of Oubre, so check that out on otgbasketball.com, everybody.
Dennis coming from my job. No, I'm just kidding. Corey, any thoughts on the Wizards?
No, I Dom, this was a good pick. I think the Wizards are definitely going to be better if John Wall and company stay healthy. I think this team just needs to be healthy. If John Wall's healthy and Beal's healthy and Howard's healthy, I think even if Howard is in the locker room, I still think this team is better than they were last year because Gortat was just miserable. I mean, that guy was terrible, missing layups. I mean, he was the most flat-footed center I've ever seen. I think Dwight Howard gives especially John Wall an element he really hasn't had. You know, a guy who can catch oops, a guy who can you know, beat it up down low. He's going to average 14 and 10 or 14 and 12 like usual, Dwight Howard. And then John Wall, I think I said 18 and 10 on Full Access Hoops, the OTG player power rankings the other day with Jack. I think he could actually average like 23 and like 11 if this team pops off like Howard can. Austin Rivers was a really good addition. This team just keeps trying for backup point guards. I mean, they've tried everybody, it feels like. You know, Ty Lawson got a chance. Brandon Jennings got a chance. Tim Frazier got a chance. Who am I missing? I mean, you can just go down to Trey Burke got a chance. You know, they've been just looking for a backup point guard. I think Austin Rivers could be that guy. And as you mentioned, Dennis, I think Otto Porter Jr. can get better. He already is a 3-and-D wing. Yeah, I think this team could be, you know, a middle of the East, and who knows, because I think there's like three or four teams who could all be like a four seed in the East, and this is one of the teams.
Yeah, and they added Jeff Green, too, to add to that bench. The only thing I would worry about is the locker room. Like Corey kind of hinted at a little bit with Dwight Howard, then obviously the relationship between Beal and Wall. But I think just the fact Wall's going to be healthy should make this team better. Any other teams in the East before we move to the West?
The Hawks.
I just want to say one.
No, I'm kidding.
I want to say one last thing, that who knows, maybe Bradley Beal and John Wall, it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and maybe they just get really close because they both hate Dwight Howard.
I mean, it's a possibility, or they just hate the other teams in the East so much. I mean, they're always talking smack with the Boston Celtics. But moving on to the West, Dennis, start us off. Which team in the West will be on the rise this season?
Man, this is a tough one. I would say, to me, the team that probably sticks out to me, I think, is the Spurs. Just because I'm a Spurs fan, you know, I'll admit. But I like the fit with DeRozan. I think putting DeRozan onto a team that won 47 games, I think, makes them better. I think losing Kyle Anderson and Danny Green will hurt them a little bit. But they did, you know, they re-upped Rudy Gay, who played well for them. They got Marco Bellinelli, and they were able to get off of Tony Parker's, get away from Tony Parker, which, you know, the guy's a legend, but I don't think he would have had much run with the current squad. I think pairing up DeRozan and Aldridge together, I think the Spurs will win over 50 games, which... You know, having said that, though, in the Western Conference, that might not be good enough for a top four seed. They might have to win a lot more than that. But I just like the Spurs. I like what they've done. You know, although Aldridge is getting up there, he is a little older. But just coming off of his season last year, I think he was super under the radar in terms of just how good he was for them last year. So I look for the Spurs to have a bounce-back season, if you will, where I could see them in the top four in the Western Conference.
Wow, so my hot take that I just sent in is the Spurs missing the playoffs, which I'm prepared to be horribly wrong because they're the Spurs and they're pop. but it's more just the competition in the West. And I think Kyle Anderson and Danny Green were significant losses defensively, and adding DeRozan and Bellinelli doesn't help that. They'll still be a good defense, but if you go from fourth to, say, 10th, I think that's a significant drop, because I only think their offense will be around league average. They don't have a lot of shooting outside Bellinelli. The perimeter defense kind of concerns me. I think they'll be this year's Denver Nuggets and win 46 games, but be the ninth seed and just miss it. I don't see a lot of their players who are trending upwards, you know, Patty Mills, Gasol, all old, all heading down. And Aldridge was phenomenal last year, no question. But can he be that good again? I'm not sure. And right now, I just think there are eight teams who are better than the Spurs are.
I think this is a team that made the playoffs as a seventh seed with only 9 games from Kawhi. And now, for the most part, you're just putting DeRozan in that spot. So I think by default, that's better. I think there is a question as to whether or not they can make the playoffs, just because the West is literally growing every single day. I do think that the Spurs have a lot more depth than people think, as far as at least in the regular season. I think they did get a lot worse defensively. You're losing Kawhi, who's arguably the best defender in the league. Danny Green and Kyle Anderson are nice defensive pieces, and then they replaced them with someone like Marco Bellinelli. I don't imagine that Marco Bellinelli is going to be able to defend very well, but he can shoot, and Rudy Gay is a good piece for them, and DeRozan is obviously a very underrated offensive talent for them, and I do think that he's going to take a few extra steps under Pop. There are other players on this team that are going to be able to step up. They are on the rise. Just to kind of contrast what you just said, Evan, I do think this is a guy that most people don't know unless they're Spurs fans. I think that Davis Bertans is somebody that's going to be able to take a jump. He kind of reminds me of Aaron Baines in a way that he kind of contests every single shot, regardless of whether or not he's going to be posterized for it. But I think that he's a good effort piece for them, and he's only going to get better. Granted, he's not going to carry them to the playoffs if they're in jeopardy of not making it, but I do think that they're going to be a little bit better than they were last year. It's just a matter of if it's going to be enough.
I definitely think this team makes the playoffs. Evan, I talked to Jack the other day about this, and I want desperately for this team to, like, miss the playoffs. And not desperately, but, like, I keep thinking this is the year they don't make the playoffs, and I just can't talk myself into it. I think, like you mentioned, Dom, they only had Kawhi for 9 games, and now they're going to get DeRozan, who likely will play, you know, majority of the games, knock on wood, unless he gets hurt. I think this team definitely takes a step forward in terms of having better offensive efficiency. I think their offense got a lot better. Defense, there's definitely some question marks now after losing Danny Green, who's actually an underrated defender, and Kawhi Leonard, who, as you guys know, is pretty damn good, I think. So I think for the Spurs, it's going to be how quickly DeRozan and Aldridge can kind of form some sort of chemistry. I think the Spurs are going to be fine, though. They're probably still going to be between the 6 and 8 seed. I don't see them going much higher. They're going to shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers. But I don't think the Spurs missed the playoffs this year. I think the Spurs team is still relatively tough to beat. And I think in a 7-game series, speaking the way far ahead, I think in any first-round matchup, no matter who plays against the Spurs, you're going to be in for a long series that I think goes 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Pop. But, Evan, what team for you in the West is on the rise?
I'm going with the Denver Nuggets. They get a full season of Paul Millsap back. I think Jokic is a superstar. I mean, his passing is just ridiculous, and I think he'll be even better. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life. They have an absolutely explosive backcourt with Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Will Barton. And then if they get anything from Michael Porter Jr. and Isaiah Thomas, I mean, watch out. This is a top three offense. There are obviously defensive concerns, but I think they'll be a little bit better this year. And as long as they're average on that end, they'll be good. And then I just wrote about them, and looking at the numbers, when they had Millsap, Jokic, Barton, and Harris and Murray on the floor together, they waxed the floor with teams. And I think this is they just missed it last year, 46 wins. I think this team can go as high as around a 5 seed and be a, 50 to 53 win team.
Well, you say that they just missed it, and you could not be any closer because that game was double overtime, wasn't it?
Yeah, against Minnesota. So it came down to last night.
Yeah, that was literally the closest you can get to not making the playoffs. I do think that, I was upset because I was definitely looking forward to picking the Nuggets here, but I should have known someone was going to select them. I think the Nuggets are going to be like really, really good this next season. This is a great pick. I think that they're going to be, I don't think they're going to be anything less than a 6 seed. I think Jokic is going to be taking some serious steps to prove he's top 3 center in the league. I saw the reports come out. Isaiah Thomas is looking to prove that he can play basketball again. And I mean, it might be the Boston in me that's just having a little soft side for him. But I do think that he is capable of getting back to at least what he was with the Lakers near the end of last season before he got hurt again. I think as well that while their best players don't seem to play defense that well, a lot of their role players do. They did lose the Manimal. I think that's going to make a little bit of a difference, but all these players are literally on the come up and they're all together. And Millsap will be there this time for a lot more games. I think that, as you said, Evan, they're just going to be a lot better. And these players are just going to mesh and it's just going to be great.
Yeah, the Nuggets are a team.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The Nuggets are definitely a team. You want to go ahead, Dennis?
No, rock out, man. I'll get after you.
All right. I'll rock out. The Nuggets are a team that I had as one of my teams that was on the rise for the West. I figured somebody was going to pick them. I will say that I am a little bit taken back at how Michael Porter Jr. is already having back surgery. So that was something that obviously was a big thing around the draft time. He slipped and the medical reports and whatnot, everyone was saying that he should be fine, and obviously he's not fine. But outside of that, Isaiah Thomas was a really good signing, I think. I mean, defensively, he's a liability, but him and Mike Malone have a past relationship from their days in Sacramento together. I think if he comes back healthy offensively, he'll be a huge offensive punch off the bench. Chip on his shoulder. I think if Paul Millsap is healthy, that's a huge addition. They probably make the playoffs with ease last year if Paul Millsap is healthy. Jamal Murray, as we know, is inconsistent, but if he becomes consistent, I just think this team is just like they've been right on the cusp. Whenever you get like a young team together, there's generally like those first couple years where you see them developing, you see them get better. And then there's like the one year where you're like, wow, they're really close. Like this team is just like a couple guys developing a little bit further than going over the hump. And I think last year was, the double overtime loss to just miss the playoffs was that, the final straw of them missing the playoffs. Like this is a team that I think was right on the cusp last year. And this is, another year of development for Jokic, Murray, Gary Harris, I think is really underrated. Losing Chandler and Fareed, I don't think is a huge issue. I think those guys are going to be maybe missed every now and then, but this is a team that's built, I think, for the West. They have a lot of offensive talent. They can switch a lot on defense. I think the Nuggets for sure are a team that will be on the rise.
I agree with most of what you guys have said, but I extremely vehemently disagree that they can play any semblance of defense. This team is god-awful defensively. I think Jokic is – he's great. He's an offensive superstar, but he is a turnstile as a low-post defender. I think, obviously, Millsap helps. I think Gary Harris and Jamal Murray – are solid defenders, but Will Barton and Isaiah Thomas are train wrecks as, like the backup guards, if you will. Mason Plumlee as well is good. I think they have some guys that could be big for them. I like Malik Beasley. I think he's a solid player for them. And I'm not sure about Mike Malone as a coach. However, I definitely think the Nuggets make the playoffs this year, and I forget who said it. I apologize, but I think they are definitely a top 6 team in the West just because even though they might not be great defensively, I think they are, they could be special offensively, especially as Corey said, if Jamal Murray can be a consistent 20 to 25 point per game scorer, I think their ceiling as a team just goes up to where, you know, they're a team that could make some noise in the playoffs in the West. And with Michael Porter Jr., yeah, that is concerning. I think that he's a player that, luckily for them, you know, I think they are coming into the season not counting on anything from him. So if he gets healthy and comes in, you know, he could add a whole new dimension to them. Jared Vanderbilt, the kid they drafted from Kentucky, could also be a nice piece for them moving forward.
Yeah, I think definitely it's going to be fun to just see Millsap healthy for a whole season. And then league pass-wise, this should probably be one of the top 10 teams, maybe top five, just with all the offense and the lack of defense. But, definitely. Dom, what about you? What team in the West do you think will be on the rise?
Well, I so badly wanted to talk about Denver. I'm glad, granted, I still got the chance to. But the other team that I had was the Dallas Mavericks. I think, first off, the Hawks were ridiculously stupid to pass on Luka Doncic. Actually, pretty much everybody besides Phoenix was. I think even Phoenix would have been dumb, but they it makes sense for what they need. But Luka Doncic is probably the best player that came out of that draft there. I think he's going to be one of the few in that entire first round that's actually going to contribute immediately and probably be their best player. I think he's very good offensively. He's just going to be serious firepower for them. He's going to give a lot of defenders issues. I think also DeAndre Jordan was a good, very good. I mean, finally he made it. I think it's a very good pickup for them because maybe they could take a little of a break for Dirk. And Nerlens Noel is not there. Not that he's contributed much anyway. I think DeAndre Jordan was exactly what they needed for there. Harrison Barnes is underwhelming as he may be, I still think that maybe if they're in the spot where they're like the 10th seed and they want to win a couple games and get in there, he might be able to elevate with the scent of the playoffs maybe coming in. I think Dennis Smith Jr. was great last year, and he's going to get better. And I actually really like the dynamic of Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka Doncic. I think that's going to be a great pair to watch coming forward. And I think that the Dallas Mavericks are going to be pushing. I don't know if they're going to get it. I don't think that they're going to get into the playoffs, but they're going to be, I think they're ready to win.
Yeah. I would, I like some of the moves the Mavericks have made. I like that the DeAndre Jordan contract is only 1 year. I think it gives them a chance to see how he fits in. I think Carlisle's system is not always the easiest for guys to fit into, just because he demands a lot of his big guys, and I think that's where he clashed with Noel. So it'll be interesting to see if DeAndre Jordan can help shore up the defense. I also like Harrison Barnes. It just as Dom said, I'm a big Harrison Barnes fan. I like Doncic. I'm not sure about his fit with Dennis Smith. Smith seems to me to be a guy that isn't really a great off-ball player. I think Doncic will be able to fit in next to him if Doncic is comfortable, you know, playing off the ball. But I like the moves that they've made, and I think that if you put this team in the East, I think they could compete for a playoff spot. But unfortunately, they're in the West, so it's hard for me to believe that they're going to find a way to get out of the lottery.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll definitely be better. But honestly, I think they're the 13th best team in the West, and that's not really a slight on them. It's just how brutal the West is. I'm sure they'll win, you know, maybe being around the 35 win range, but that won't be anywhere close enough to compete in the West, but they'll sure be exciting with Doncic and DeAndre Jordan. I liked a lot of their moves a lot, and they're heading in the right direction for sure.
I know I'm not crazy. I know I saw takes somewhere on Twitter about the Mavericks making the playoffs. Like I know for a fact I've seen them. I think they're outlandish. I think that's ridiculous. I think this team is on the rise, though. I think anytime you draft a talent like Luka Doncic, you're going in the right direction. I think this was a great move for them, especially for the fact that the Hawks, one of my favorite dumpster fires of the league, got one of the biggest busts, I think, in this draft, and Trae Young, for giving up Doncic, or, you know, the deal that happened. I think the DeAndre Jordan signing, I mean, still interesting that they would still revisit DeAndre Jordan after what happened last time, which is still something that I guess is just besides the point, but something to me that's just very odd.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a one-year deal, as Dennis mentioned. It doesn't hurt them. It gives them an actual center, which they've been kind of lacking the last several years. Nerlens Noel, he was too lazy, and Rick Carlisle just didn't play him afterwards. Dirk, as we know, is 40 and being PED drug tested. And
he's moving
I think
really
this
well,
team,
too.
Yeah, right. I think this team is going to be more entertaining. You know, if Harrison Barnes plays better, if Wesley Matthews, I like Wesley Matthews from his Portland days. Obviously, the Achilles injury has kind of set his career back a little bit. He's not worth nearly as much as he's being paid, as he is being paid. I think Dennis Smith Jr., as you mentioned, Dom, is a high flyer. I think he's, I think he could take his game to another level. He's got a chip on his shoulder. So the Mavericks, I think, are going towards the direction of being in the playoffs. But as Evan mentioned, and as you know, Dennis mentioned as well, the West is just too tough. I mean, this team is still, you know, a bottom West, even if they do take steps forward.
Yeah, the West is really tough. Corey, finish us off, though. What other team in the West do you think will be making a jump or on the rise?
I was actually surprised that this team didn't get picked. The New Orleans Pelicans. Oh. I love that DeMarcus Cousins is gone, which is, I guess is odd to say. I love the Julius Randle signing. That was an absolute steal for a kid who could possibly take his game to, you know, bigger and better levels. I mean, we saw what happened to the Lakers last year when he finally became the starting center. He started finally getting some minutes. I mean, if he ever develops a steady jump shot or a steady three-point shot, he can do it all. He can bring the ball up the floor by himself. He can rebound. He can pass. I absolutely love his game. Anthony Davis, as we know, is a freak and at any point in time could be arguably the best player in the league, especially if LeBron takes any steps backwards. I know Kevin Durant's probably the favorite to be the next best player in the league, but I think Anthony Davis is pretty damn close. Jrue Holiday turned heads last year, showed everybody he's a two-way player. He was phenomenal in that first-round series against Portland. And then I just like the collection of guys. Obviously, they're going to miss Rondo a little bit. Elfrid Payton's a huge question mark. So you have to see what he brings. But he's never played in a winning environment. So I want to believe that when you're playing alongside of Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis, it's going to make you want to elevate your game. I feel like he's still a decent defender. He's had a few triple doubles, so he can do a little bit of what Rondo does. He cut his hair, so no longer will he have hair blocking his view from taking jump shots. Then you add in Etuan Moore, who's a very movable deal if they chose to move him. He was very, very good last year playing he's a shooting guard, but he's playing small ball, small forward for them. Solomon Hill missed most of last year with a torn hamstring. He's going to be back. He's a decent 3-and-D guy. Nikola Mirotic was a huge deadline deal for them. With Cousins going down, that guy played way above his pay grade. I just think the Pelicans are in a very good position if they're healthy to really make a run in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans are going to be good. I think the only concern I have is I would think they're three of their top four guys, Mirotic, Davis, and Randle. I'm not sure how much those three could play together, if at all. So I think Alvin Gentry has, you know, an interesting decision to make when it comes to their rotation. But as Corey said, I think Anthony Davis is all world. I think he's either the second or third best player in the league. And, you know, it might not be too long before he's the best. He just is so great in terms of his mobility, his length. He just covers up so many mistakes. And, you know, he can, I think that's what makes him so ideal as a partner for Mirotić because he can help Mirotić out. I think Randall is a great get for them as well, just because he can provide some of that inside scoring. So I like Randall personally. I like him more as their first guy off the bench, playing as a partner for Anthony Davis or for Mirotić. So I love the Pelicans. I like what they've done. I think they've done well to replace anything that they lost in Rondo. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not a big Elfrid Payton guy either, but I think he can give them enough to where I think they'll be able to continue to be successful.
Yeah, I like the pick, Corey. I talked about the Pelicans earlier because the hot take. I mean, Anthony Davis is about to just wreck the league, I think, and adding Randall Mirotić with Davis together, if you look at the numbers, they were waxing the floor with people when those two were together. Holiday's a great two-way guard. I think this team could be top 10 in both offense and defense. If they can just add one more, just even like average wing, I think they would be a real threat to make some noise, but I definitely think they're on the rise for sure.
I mean, basically, you guys have all covered it pretty well. I think the Pelicans are not – I just don't think that they're going to have the postseason success that they did just because they don't have playoff Rondo. And I think playoff Rondo is kind of a legit thing with the way he could set up plays for them. I don't think Elfrid Payton is really going to be able to do that for them. I guess they're not really going to be worse as much as they're just going to be a little bit different with the three forwards that they have. Between Anthony Davis, Mirotić, and Randall, I think they're going to have a few different variations of good lineups. It's just a matter of which way they're going to go. Either way, they're definitely going to be in the playoffs, I think. I'm not sure that Jacob's hot take is accurate enough to say that they're going to be in the conference finals, but I do think that they're going to make strides in the postseason. So I definitely like the moves.
All right, so Corey wrapped it up with the West, and that's going to wrap it up for today. Guys, as always, thank you for hopping on. Dennis, Dom, Evan, and Corey, great show, everybody. Check us out on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio.